Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. My Olympian mission is to promote lifelong personal development, human empowerment, out-of-the-box thinking, creative self-expression, and a dedication of one's unique talents to community service. All of my labors in this lifetime celebrate the hero's journey in myth, legend, spirituality, popular culture, and in daily life. I firmly believe that the human spirit is essentially heroic and always seeking ways to express its innate nobility and greatness, and that a life fully lived, dedicated to actualizing the highest we can conceive, is the noblest expression of human existence. Tonight, I am very proud to bring you The Enchanted Self with Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein. Greetings and welcome, Barbara. How are you?
I'm great, and I'm delighted to be back here on our monthly show.
Yeah,
and I have two guests tonight. The first one is, I'll tell you a little bit, Julia Gessner, who's been working with me on and off the past year. And she is a young lady, finished her first year of college, and is a filmmaker among a ton of other things. And we have been working on collecting short interviews and filming them, which Julia has taken on as a project. And we hope to end up with a film with these students and other people of the same age range, people who haven't gone to college necessarily, those that have, those that are doing other things, like skipping a year and traveling, and see how they've handled the pandemic. And
wow.
We also have, yeah, very interesting. And we also have Madison Vieira from Florida, and she has been on my podcast shows in the past and has had some interesting, not always great, experiences tied into when we were talking about lockdowns. But tonight, in the first 20 minutes, we're going to discuss the pandemic and how it's affected young adults. And I am not a young adult anymore. So,
nor am I.
Right. I'm going to ask either Madison or Julia to jump in and give us a sense of how you think the pandemic has been handled and some of the pluses and minuses that you've seen. And then whoever goes first, then the other one goes second, okay? Don't be shy. Somebody jump in.
Okay, I'll start.
Okay.
So I think that over the course of, I mean, I can't believe it's probably almost going to be like 2 years since the pandemic really started, but I think that it's been handled pretty well. And as a society, like we're all starting to get back to, you know, a sense of normalcy, which is really nice. And as far as like how I've dealt with it in everything and how it affected like my school year. I was all virtual first semester, and then second semester I was allowed to be on campus with restrictions, of course, wearing masks, social distancing. I had a few in-person classes, but some of my friends had none. And I think like people have handled it well, and we've definitely learned from it. And then some of the pros and cons. I mean, cons definitely like a lot of social events were taken, and a lot of, just in-person interaction, which is always good, was taken away. But I think the positive, where we now know we can work from home and we can, you know, use platforms like Zoom to hold classes. And we realize that, like, how strong technology is and how we're moving forward with technology and how important it is to stay in contact with people, but also that it's possible to do everything virtually, which I think is really cool. And I think that some colleges will still continue to use Zoom for certain things going forward, even when the pandemic is technically over.
Okay, well, that's a good summary. And how would you talk about this past year, Madison?
I still can't believe it's been 2 years as well since the pandemic started. It's kind of crazy because before it was very, like, everyone was very happy and saw everyone's faces and stuff. And then during it was just very, like, crazy because you're not, like, you weren't able to see friends or family, and that's one of the main things you really needed during the time of being locked home. And I got to say, schooling was really hard because going through the pandemic during, like, my senior year of high school was very, like, crazy because, like, we weren't able to go back to school since then. Only one time in July to graduate, which wasn't really a big graduation, but it was really crazy. I got to say, some of the pros and cons of it was you can meet a lot of new people through the internet, and you were able to, like, work at home as well. Some of the cons is, like, you can't really see family members. I haven't seen some family members since, like, the pandemic started, and it's been kind of rough not to see them. And I know it's kind of, like, hard for everyone to do schooling as well because college is starting back up, but, like, there is going to be online classes, there's going to be on campus, but also there's going to be the guidelines of the mask, and yeah.
What stands out the most for each of you at this point? Like, was there one particular disappointment or one particular high, something really interesting that happened or something that you really missed? What, you know, is there just something that shoots right out that we could hear from each of you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for me, what comes to mind right away is having all, like, second semester senior events taken away because, you know, everyone looks forward to a second semester senior year because you get prom, graduation, like, senior ditch day, all these traditions. And what really was upsetting to me is how this year's senior class, the class of 2021 in high school, since everything's now starting to return to normal, people are getting vaccinated, they were able to get, like, a proper prom and a proper graduation. And then looking at that on social media, it's just very hard to realize everything that we missed out on, everything that was taken away from us. I mean, granted, like, I'm grateful that they still gave us an in-person graduation, but, you know, they had to split the class into four, and we had to wear masks. We still got to walk, which was nice, but I just think that a lot of events that people normally look forward to at the end of senior year were taken away, and that's definitely still upsetting to me.
Sure. I can understand that completely. Go ahead.
Okay. I agree. Totally agree with
Julia.
Yes, Julia. I'm sorry.
It's all right. We don't know each other. Good.
I totally agree because, like, having senior year, like, be very, like, difficult not seeing your friends and stuff and, like, going through, like, prom and stuff. And prom and graduation, that was really hard. But also I'm really glad, like you said, I'm really glad that class of 2021 was able to have a proper graduation and prom. And I got to say, one of the things I'm really glad that now that the pandemic is starting to open more and everyone's, like, not going to be able to wear masks is outside activities like Disney, Universal, SeaWorld, all of those are opening up with no masks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really fun idea to think of that because, like, beforehand it was all closed or no one was able to go on other than wearing your mask.
Yeah. I find wearing a mask very difficult.
Especially in the heat. It gets it's so hot.
Yeah. Did either of you lose anybody or know of someone who was very ill.
I have a close friend from college, and her mom had a best friend who worked as a nurse who unfortunately got COVID and ended up passing away a few months ago, which was really upsetting to her. And
sure.
It's always just, yeah. And, like, I mean, you see these numbers in the news, and then it's not really, like, real to you unless until you know someone, and then it just hits you like a ton of bricks, and it's just very hard.
Definitely. How about you, Madison?
I luckily have not had to deal with someone passing due to COVID, but I did have some family members, like, had COVID, and, like, they're still suffering from the side effects of it, which is very scary sometimes.
People who are long haulers, are you saying?
Yes, ma'am.
Uh-huh. What are some of the side effects that they've talked about?
Some of the side effects was smelling and the taste.
Yes.
And some of them was about the headaches. Apparently, after getting COVID, your headaches are very, very bad. Because, like, it's, you're just, the COVID kind of, like, affects your whole, like, system. And
yeah.
Whenever you get headaches,
yeah.
It's bad. And I know that the sleeping as well was kind of, like, an issue. Because you're always tired. That's, like, the worst side effect, I got to say.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think the side effects are very fascinating and challenging. And, Julia, where you're thinking of medicine as your career, do you think they'll ever figure out how to really handle all the side effects?
Yeah, I mean, I think they will, but I think one thing that's definitely going to be difficult, we don't really know how this is going to impact us in the long term. Like, we don't know what kind of long-term damage it can do to the body, which is definitely very scary. But as Madison was saying, like, I know people that it took, like, 5 or 6 months to fully get their taste and smell back, which is crazy to me. And then even my dad, who looked at scans, will see that, like, a patient had COVID a few months ago and their lungs are still, like, messed up from it on the scan. So it's just very scary stuff.
Yeah. And it's very strange that losing the taste and the smells, you don't, I mean, that's sort of one of the senses that you just sort of accept as like your fingernails, you know. I mean, it's just, they're always there. You either smell a bad smell or a good smell. And I think it's kind of hard and shocking to suddenly not smell things or taste things.
Yeah, exactly.
I totally agree.
It's almost like we take it for granted, but then when we don't have it, it's very different.
Right, right. How about both sets of parents and even grandparents? Were there any interesting reactions or anything you can share about family life in either of your families going through the whole thing?
Well, no one on my mom's side got COVID, but both my grandma and grandpa on my dad's side, they both got COVID early on, kind of when it, like, was still being discovered in the U.S. And when my grandma on my dad's side kind of had symptoms in, like, late January, and then they didn't realize it was COVID until, like, after she had had it, which I thought was definitely interesting because, you know, it wasn't really, like, prominent until March, and so we didn't realize it was in the U.S. before we even started hearing about it and talking about it. So luckily they both recovered and they're both fine. But yeah, they got it very early on.
Did they have any idea where they may have picked it up?
They live in, like, a nursing home, so they think from there.
Oh, mm-hmm. Any other stories?
My mom had got COVID during the same around, I think, in September. September 4th, I think, is when my mom finally got COVID. And dealing with that was kind of, like, hard because, like, I never got to see her for 2 weeks. And it was kind of sad to, like, do that because the only way to talk to her was either, like, 6 feet away from her outside window that was open that we could talk to her through. And I know that affected her as well.
Yeah. Who provided care for her and food and, you know, how did the family... No, go ahead.
Like, oh, sorry. So what we would do was, like, if I'm up while she's up, I would be, like, making her a sandwich, making her chicken noodle soup or something, and I would drop it off on her door. And to make it fun for her, you know how, like, if you order things from, like, Uber or DoorDash and you have, like, that little messenger saying, you have DoorDash on the way? I would do that.
Yes.
Fun for her. It was kind of crazy to, like, witness that as well, too, because, like, thinking that your mom was really sick and, like I was praying all, like, every day, making sure she was okay. And she's still having the side effects from it. But, like, I think most of the headaches are still having an effect on her. But she's still, at the moment, she's full-on healthy. Everything's okay with her.
And so she still has headaches or they've passed?
She still has headaches. But it's, like, she originally had headaches, like, oftenly. But she had, like, a neck injury when she was younger. But the headaches are 10 times worse because of the side effects from it.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't realize that your mother had gotten it. And you and your brother and your father didn't?
No, ma'am.
You were fortunate, you know, because in a lot of families, even if they tried so hard, like my daughter, who is married and has 4 kids, they tried very hard when it was clear that her son had it in the very beginning, you know, like around early March. And it was really impossible to just keep him away completely from the rest of the family. And she got it. And one of the girls got probably a very light case. And another girl in the family just didn't feel well for one day. That was the youngest child. And that she just, you know, like they say, some people hardly know they have it, and that may have been the case with her. But my grandson and the other daughter lost taste and smell for, fortunately, only like 2 weeks, but they lost it.
Oh, wow. That's lucky, though, that they only lost it for 2 weeks.
I know. It really is. So it's 9:18. I'd like to give the last 2 minutes to Julia. I know you've researched and you've made the films already, at least the clips from a lot of the young people. Can you tell us a few things that they talked about before you have to go?
Yeah, definitely. Let me try to think. Like, one thing that definitely kept coming up, and I also mentioned this last time, was the impact of the pandemic on people's mental health, which is definitely something to something important to take into consideration, because when you're isolated and when you can't really be around people to distract you from other things going on, you're stuck with your own thoughts and you're just constantly, like, at least for me, like, my anxiety that I get, like, goes away when I'm distracted. So it's very hard to keep yourself distracted when there's no one else around you. So people's mental health definitely suffered. And also, it was very hard for people to stay motivated during the school year because everything was practically online. So people would just, you know, take class from their beds, and I'm a little guilty of this too, because there were just some days where I just felt like I couldn't. And so it was just, it's very hard to keep yourself motivated and to keep on studying and just to keep at it when everything's just online and you're just like, every day feels the same. So that was definitely a big thing that I noticed. And then another thing I noticed, which I thought was interesting, is one question I asked is how social media impacted people's like time during the pandemic. And people said, because I thought people were going to say that like it impacted them negatively because they realized on like how much they were missing out on. But people actually said that was kind of like the one thing that was normal in their life, that they got to keep constant social media. So that helped a lot of people get through it. So I thought that was very interesting also.
Yes. Yes, definitely. So do you really have to hop off now, Julia?
Yeah, unfortunately I do.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us, and we'll be in touch, and I look forward to the day when we really finish the film, and I know it'll happen this summer. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for coming.
Of course. Thank you for having me, and nice meeting you, Madison.
It was nice meeting you, too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
What did you think, Madison, of her comments about particularly mental health?
I thought it was very serious, and I, like, understood everything what she meant about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your mentality is very, it, like, differs a lot because going through the whole, like, I'm alone, and, like, people that live by themselves, you never know what's going through their mind at that time, being so alone, not being able to see people for, who knows, a month, even a year. I heard that some people are still on lockdown, in the world. And I think it's just kind of crazy to think that, because, like, people are still going through lockdowns, and you don't know what's going to go through the mind. I think that, like, during the pandemic, people should have, like, talked more to their family members or friends to check them on them, tell them that they're loved and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's a very important point, too, about getting in touch, sharing your love, and helping people feel valued. Yeah. Well, I think that a lot of people are still in partial psychological lockdown, including myself to a small extent.
Mm-hmm.
I think for someone like me, who tends to be very hyper alert, I'm like, definitely think I'm one of those very sensitive people that are like an empath. If somebody doesn't feel well around me, it's almost like I start to not feel well. You know, I'm very reactive. And staying in the house and working out of the house for over a year definitely took away some of my get up and go. You know, I'm forcing myself.
Mm-hmm.
So you find some of that too?
I totally do. I work at a restaurant down the road of my house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's kind of crazy because, like, beforehand I was like, okay, I'm ready. I'm good. I'm glad to go to work type thing. And then, like you said, I have to force myself to go to work or do
mm-hmm.
anything at the moment. So used to staying home and having a home body to the point where you just don't want to do anything.
Yeah.
Yes,
and it's a little, you know, it's something not everyone's talking about. Other people are having slightly different reactions. Like, I have a relative and in my family that, I won't name her because I didn't get her permission, but she's much more nervous than she had been, you know, just trying to process things, not to get as nervous over them, or is something that I think for her just built up over a year of worry. Will I ever get it? When will I get my vaccine? When will I see my grandchildren, whatever it is? And it's very hard on people emotionally.
Very.
And I've also read some articles that talk about we're in a kind of trauma. We were in a real trauma to some extent while it was, you know, extremely active. But all of us are now having residues from trauma. And
we really do.
Yeah. And you know how little kids will get like attached to their blanket or something, you know? Well, I'm attached to my rocking chair on the front porch, you know. I'm sort of embarrassed by it, you know. And but it's true, you know, that's just the perfect spot because I'm outside getting fresh air, but I've got my house sheltering me. So
I totally understand that.
Yeah.
I'm the same way. I have this, a hammock outside of my house in my backyard, and that's where I sit. And that's why I'm free.
Yeah. Yeah, but I do think as a psychologist, I would support people trying. You know, I mean, I'm trying myself. We belong to a beach club because we live near the ocean. And I haven't been able to go down. I mean, I used to run down, you know, the first day it opened. But today I did go down, and I just sat on a chair, and I walked a little bit, and I mean, this is really abnormal for me, but I'm trying to push myself now.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
Because I'm doing the same exact thing. I'm pushing myself every single day to get up because, like, sometimes, like, there's moments where I'm kind of like, do I want to go out and do something? And then I think more about it, and I'm like, yeah, I'll go out and see the sunlight.
Mm-hmm,
or do something with, like, friends. So,
yeah.
I totally get that.
Yes.
It's crazy sometimes just to think about it because, like, it's been 2 years since it stopped. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it really is. And for, like, myself, we didn't take a vacation. The only two nights we stayed away in over a year were to a guest house a little further south in New Jersey. And, that was it. That was it. So we hadn't been to my daughter's house in over a year. And it's funny because, you know, we get there. The mind is so strange and fascinating. When we started to get near her house, it felt like we had just been there a week ago. It's like the mind can't register accurate timing in some of this, you know, like a lot of time is just blank. Do you think I can remember any one day in, say, March of last year or April? No, because they were all the same.
Yeah.
You know?
One of the only trips that we went on during the pandemic was we went to Tennessee, and it was kind of crazy because we went on a baseball trip for my brother because he plays travel ball, and it was kind of crazy because we had to share a whole, like, cabin with different family teammates. And it was, crazy to think about it because, like, during the whole pandemic, not seeing anyone and then randomly go to Tennessee and, like, staying a whole household pretty much in, like, a week, it was kind of crazy to think that because, like, during the whole, like, it's just a crazy atmosphere pretty much. Going back to, like, having people around a lot and, like, it's very crazy to think about it again. because, like, once you get back to, like, the family members you haven't seen in a while, that feeling is just so amazing. So it makes you feel like at home.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're almost overstimulated at first because you're not used to it, you know? One of the things that I started to do was to take pictures in my neighborhood, like of the flowers and stuff. And I will say that I have noticed tiny things around me. And, you know, like I have looked at life with more awe, if I could say, you know, like, wow, that's a beautiful little flower over there. I was just going to say, like, a lot of adults, I think, have started, you know, not so sure they want to be quite as frantically busy. There is a sense of appreciating small things and stuff that has come out of this.
I totally understand. He's like, that's the one big thing, as you said. Like, just the pandemic itself, like, going through, like, coming back, and like you said, you're taking pictures every single, like, time to go for a walk, and you're seeing more different things. And that's why I, like, about that, doing that, because, like, there's things you never notice every time you go, and I like that, because it's a new thing every single time.
Right.
And, like,
right.
I like that because, like, you're learning more things, and I think that, like, now that we're getting out of the, like, the stages of the pandemic, I think we should at least, like do what you did. Go walk around, see new things, look at new things you never thought that was there. And I like that a lot.
Well, thank you, and I think it is good for you. Now, are you going to go and are you planning to stay with the restaurant job? Are you combining it with some schooling? What are your plans for the coming year?
For the coming year, I'm going to start college soon for a veterinary assistant. And
So you must love animals.
I really do. I used to work at a dog place close by to my house, and every single time I saw a dog, I was all over it, trying to give it all the lovings, and it really brought me to my path right now, and I like, have a whole passion for it. Like, my thought of, like, working at an exotic zoo and, like, working with the monkeys, working with the tigers, working with a baby elephant, like, just imagine, like, a baby elephant getting attached to you. That's what I really like.
Sounds like a wonderful road ahead for you.
Thank you.
And will you be still living around where you live when you start this training, or do you go away to a school, or what?
I'm going to a school that's just, like, a couple miles, like, at least 30 minutes away from my house.
Oh, good,
so,
good.
Yeah, it's not, like, really far, so I'm probably just going to be, like, I'm doing morning classes there. And the good thing there is, like, every single class is, like, in the mornings. Cause, like, I like morning classes because I'm more awake and I'm more aware of things. But I'm really liking it. I'm going to the Southern Tech.
I don't know any of the schools in Florida, but that sounds like the right school.
Thank
you. Is it a?
I really appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. So, what else should we sum up about this whole pandemic year? Anything else that comes to you? I'll ask one last question.
Okay.
How did the year affect your brother, who I think is, what, a few years younger than you?
Yes.
Did you see differences in the way he processed it from you?
Yes, I totally saw a huge difference on my brother. Like, we're 7 years apart, so I'm 20 and he's 13. It's crazy to think about that. When the pandemic started, he was 11, right? Yeah, no.
Mm-hmm.
Let me think about it. But, like, seeing him at a young age going through a whole pandemic is kind of crazy because, like, he did middle school virtually.
Mm-hmm.
His first year of middle school was in, like, online. And, like, I felt so bad for him because, like, he never got the chance to, like, experience sixth grade, the big school. And,
mm-hmm.
like, seeing him go through, like, the different things of, like, he would do, like, baseball games sometimes during the pandemic when it kind of, like, slowed down. And, like, seeing him, like, getting back out there on the field was really amazing. Seeing him, like, he's amazing at baseball, and seeing him, like, get really, like, into it again was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to say, like, the effect that really, like, I've seen the most was the bonding that we had.
Mm.
Like, being home so much, we were, like, pretty much, like, forced to talk to each other because we had nothing else to do. So, like,
mm-hmm.
bonding with him is the most thing I really liked about, like, the pandemic with him. And, like, I got to say, it's kind of hard for him as well because, like, the hardest part, I think it was not seeing his friends and not being able to do the fifth grade walkthrough. At his elementary, there's a walkthrough for the fifth graders. They're going
mm-hmm.
to sixth graders.
Yeah.
And usually it's a big old line. People, like, cheering for you. And it's really cool for the fifth graders. But this, like, when the pandemic started, I felt so bad because he had to do his little walk through the car. And, like,
aww.
I knew that really affected him a lot. Because, like, seeing his teachers not be able to talk to them long or talk, like, get any pictures, it was really sad.
Yeah. Yep. Well, it's wonderful, though, that you'll probably keep a stronger tie with each other the rest of your lives because of that opportunity.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Mm-hmm. So I had asked you before the show and if you would be willing to maybe talk with me a little bit about my latest book, which is Conflict and a little bit of magic. And just to tell the audience, this is the third book about the same girl. The girl starts off in the first book, The Truth, Diary of a Gutsy Tween, around 11 years old, 11 to 12. And then in the second book, Secrets, Diary of a Gutsy Teen, she's about going on 14. And in this book, Conflict and a Bit of Magic, she's about 15. And I already have the plot, and not the full script yet, but the plot for the next book she'll be about 16. And I would be very interested. I think you read at least one of the earlier books, right, Madison?
Yes, ma'am. I have read every single one since I was really young. And
uh-huh.
then now that I'm reading the Conflict with a Little Bit of Magic, it's kind of like going straight to where you left off in the last book.
Mm-hmm.
Which I really
yes.
like about that because, like, some people don't go straightly after of what ended in the second book.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, now that I, like, and I read it, it was getting really, like, exactly what happened in the first book, or the second. And, like, there's many pieces of, like, hey, I remember that person, or I remember that time when she was talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I didn't really change. It's like, yes, she's real, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It always frustrates me in a book if it's part of a series, if anything changes, you know, without the author being clear why it changed.
I totally agree.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you, what did you think of the actual adventures and things that happened to her in Conflict and A Bit of Magic?
I thought it was crazy. Like, some of the things I'm kind of like, I've dealt with some of the things that she's dealt with. Like, the whole, like, the boyfriend part where she, how she hates, oh, hold on. I think I'm forgetting his name.
Well, it's all right. Forget the name. I don't even know if I could dredge it up at this second. But she had a crush. Her first crush was Paul way back, and then Rob. Is it Rob you're thinking of?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And how, like, Rob got over her with, like, Cynthia, and how, like,
mm-hmm.
she's never going to talk to him, and how she's so hurt, and, like, I've dealt with that. It was kind of cool because, like, every single book that you wrote, I've experienced over, like, I would come back to the book and, like, look upon it and be like, hey, look, this is, like, what I'm going through right now. This is some type of thing I can, like, use with it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's I like the part when the when she finds out that she's, like, in a family of witches. I like that part. She finds out.
yeah. Well, we don't really know. It's not completely clear if her aunt, where her aunt stands in all of this. But it's really a crazy seance night, that's for sure.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And there are some secrets in this family, and One of the most major secrets will come out in the next book. And most families have some sort of secret somewhere, either in the past or with a relative or somewhere. But this secret is a fairly important one. In fact, I've been working on some adult scripts where this woman, the girl, is now, like, married, and some of the stuff that she had happen to her in these books is sort of coming out. People wouldn't know it if they just see the script, if they see a play that has some of the stuff in it, but it does go back to her childhood. So you were very gracious. You put a picture of yourself up on Facebook with the book. And that was great. Do you think you'll lend it to someone, or what will you do now that you've finished it?
So once I'm done with it, I already have some of my family members reading it, reading the first two books.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they're done and, like, they're ready, I'll give them to them.
Oh, okay,
to read it,
great.
Because, yeah, I started on my little cousin.
Uh-huh.
So, like, I'm starting it when I started it.
right. Perfect. So this has been a lot of fun. It's always so nice to talk to you. I feel like I really know you. Someday I really hope we'll meet.
So do I. I really hope that we get to meet.
I hope so.
It would be amazing to meet you.
Yes, you have to make sure I know where you live, not now on the show, but I'll have to be in touch because we do go to Florida once in a while, and maybe it's something where particularly, you know, renting a car, maybe it's somewhere we really could come by and meet you and your mother.
Oh, that'd be amazing. My mom will love that.
Yeah, it'll be great. So So anything else you want to say to the audience? And then I'm going to let you say goodnight.
I want you guys to make sure that you, like, after you listen to this, to tell the person that you love them. Because you never know what time is, what's going to happen next time you see them. That's something I really wanted to tell them because, like, I know that same exact feeling.
Yes. So. Yes. That's beautiful. And a beautiful thought that is something that people should take to heart very much. Well,
yes.
Thank you, Madison, and we will stay in touch,
I'm sure. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow, that was a phenomenally deep statement that she ended her show with, and very true. None of us know what's going to happen minutes, seconds from now. So it is good to let people know how you feel when you still have the ability to communicate with them.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Yeah, so that was really fun, and I didn't really have a specific script, you know, for either gal, but they really pulled it off.
Yes, they did.
Terrific. So also, we've been together on the Rotary program.
Yeah, that was fun.
I really loved that.
Yes, that was the first time they did that. They were meeting. Usually they had the Zoom meetings as a separate type of thing, but they wanted to have, like you're very experimental with your media, they were being very experimental with that meeting. So it was the first one, so it was kind of clunky, but I enjoyed it very much.
Yeah, and there's a very warm feeling in that group. It really did remind me of a sort of old-fashioned club kind of thing that's doing some good deeds, and it felt good.
Yes, those are the movers and shakers of our local area. You have the mayor, the former mayor, the president of the Chamber of Commerce, all sorts of business people and working people, and you know, a very wide mix, but everyone's dedicated to doing some good, and I fit right in because everybody there is kind of eccentric and quirky. So I feel better when they invited me to join the Rotary.
And this is Tenafly the town?
Yes.
Yeah, it's great.
Before the pandemic, we used to meet once a week at a local eatery in an inn. But because of all the close downs for a while, we were having open air meetings in the park, in the local park. And then they moved it back to an eatery, but it wasn't the same eatery. So that's kind of like what's going on. Unfortunately, I don't have as much time as I once did. And the pandemic has made everything a lot more challenging than it was before. So I used to attend the meetings religiously every week. Now I go whenever I can, and if they have something by Zoom, I'm going to join that. But it's not the same.
Yeah. I was surprised also about the pledges. I didn't really realize that they had these four pledges.
Yes, that is very beautiful. Let me see if I can call it up on the computer. My brain is not retaining everything today. Yeah, well, it was great to have you there, and it was great. It's always great to interact with you, and here we got to see each other too, which
I know.
The four ways.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Is it the truth? Is it fair to all concerned? Will it build goodwill and better friendships? And will it be beneficial to all concerned? And that is a great way to live one's life.
Yes. Absolutely. And I like that they did the Pledge of Allegiance. And,
yeah,
you know,
too.
I like things that take into account the immense importance of the country we live in. That was nice.
Yes.
So I was just going to finish the show by sharing. Oh, I only have 5 minutes anyway. Sharing this aha moment that I had, and it happened because a family member asked me something that she was kind of testing because she had read it somewhere and it intrigued her. And the question was, if you could suddenly leave your current world and sort of be, in some miracle way, be born again in a family that had no dysfunction, total love, wonderful opportunities, you would not need to grow up with the stress and strain of certain situations that you have experienced where you come from. And you would, you know, it was kind of a vision of kind of a world where the Messiah has come kind of thing, a very beautiful world. Would you leave your world as you know it, and go there? And the family member got different answers from different people.
Mm.
And what I said to her was that, and she also, she had definitely one answer where people were greatly relieved, you know, just ready to leap into it. I said, I felt almost a fear and an acute response. My response was, no, I'm not going to leave my world and me as I seem, you know, as I know myself for anything. I don't care what this paradise is. I want to stay with my own history and so on. And that was almost an anxiety reaction. But during the night, I woke up and I had this long sort of talk with myself. And I realized that how much I really value my life and my friends and my family and my, you know, grandchildren and my work and, you know, everything on and on. But that gets very clouded because I'll get upset over something or worried or can't make a decision or, you know, other things intrude, disappointments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody has disappointments. And sometimes when I look back in my past, I can conjure up 10 disappointments right in a row. And it's very hard for the human mind to stay recognizing the powerful attachment and willingness to accept one's life, even with disappointments and things that didn't work out, because the way our brains work, we're always, you know, keeping track of what we haven't succeeded at or what we're worried about. But, and I know a lot of psychologists and people talk about that, but what astounded me was the depth of my reaction, and I think it made me a little more in tune with recognizing how much I love my life. That's where, you know, that was the kind of aha moment. I just thought I'd pass it along.
Well, thank you. That's very deep, and I was wondering how I would react to that question. Basically, I too value where I currently am, and in the mythologies that inform my spirituality, it's difficult to be a human. And even gods who come out here to be among humanity or to live life as a human for a while find it very difficult. So I tend to have lots of slack because of that, because it's a hard experience. And I think on some level that we are divine in the sense that we have creativity. And with our creativity, we can endeavor to create a better world here. And even if we just do it in our immediate circle, in our household, it's going to affect those people who are in a household, and they're going to be perhaps more understanding and loving and kind with people outside. And so with a ripple effect, you can have great significance.
Right.
So I try to make all of my worlds a little better, but I enjoy the worlds I'm in, and I love the people who are in my worlds, and this is a place full of adventure. So while I'm here, I'm going to enjoy it.
Right, right. Yeah, and I think, I do maintain a belief in some form of reincarnation, and I think that it's going to be hard enough to be reincarnated because we don't really take all our memory with us.
No.
So, you know, I definitely think somehow reaching into a kind of deep, deep level of appreciation of where we're at is just a wonderful gift. I mean, I'm working on it. And I'm going to take this quite seriously because I think it'll make my world even richer to understand how precious it is.
That it is. Each and every moment is precious, and we don't know how much we're going to have. So it's good to appreciate and to enjoy it. And I don't know if I shared this, but I really have a couple of minutes, so I'll make it fast. But I worked with people who were in ICUs in the hospital or in terminal wards where they weren't leaving the bed. That's when I learned the value of having no regrets, of saying what you need to say, and of appreciating where it is you are and what it is that you have as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. Well, I'm happy to have been doing this show again, and I'll just remind people that it would be a pleasure for me if you could consider Conflict and a Bit of Magic. That would be a great gift for me if you can buy it on Amazon or get if you actually have the right Kindle arrangement, you can read it for free on Kindle. And if you would do that and stay in touch with me, barbara.holstein@gmail.com. I would love to hear from people that read the book or my first books, The Truth and Secrets. And hope to be back. Yes, and The Enchanted Self, and just whatever comes up next month, to be here sharing it with you.
In August, I'll be launching 90 seconds. August, I'll be launching a Zoom show. So we'll do a whole show devoted to the book.
Great. That's wonderful.
Barbara, thank you
all
so
right.
very much. Have a wonderful evening and a wonderful week. And I look forward to our next conversation already.
Okay, Hercules, and you too. Take
Thank
care.
You. Thanks.
Right. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everybody who joined in. Bye-bye. Whether you called in, whether you linked to the show via the internet, or whether you listen to us live, or whether you're going to listen to us on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. And we'll end with If You Can Dream by Virginia Ackley.
If you can dream, if you can fly, then your heart can touch the sky, but only if you can dream. If love is true, and love is real. Pain and sorrow soon will heal, but all.